listen to last week's show, Jake?
Yes.
What did you think?
Funny.
Funny show. You hadn't messaged me, and I was expecting a message or something from you.
What was in it?
you haven't seen it? You haven't listened to it?
No.
Well, I can't tell you now. It's off the top, so if you haven't heard the first 30 seconds, then...
No one said anything to me about it either. And...
Oh, they've kept it quiet. The Magoos got an inbox on Facebook by someone, a North supporter, saying, giving thanks, basically. Do you want me to read it? I'll read it to you if you like.
Yeah, read it out, mate. Go for it.
So I've got this from a fan, from Dean. Big shout out to Dean. He said, inbox the Magoo saying, "Dear Ben, I just wanted to thank you for your opening Bombers remarks last episode. As a North supporter, any day I'm feeling a bit low, I just re-listen to your opening few minutes and all feels warm and fuzzy in the world again. The only thing that could improve it would be for Jake to follow suit and tell us how bad the Blues are. Cheers, fellas. Dino."
Now,
the fact that you haven't even heard this, and it actually plays into what I said at the start of last episode, which was Jake doesn't really listen to the show, so he probably won't even know I'm doing this. So it actually, most people listening would have thought, he's probably just putting that on for the show. Jake, no. You haven't heard it?
No, I haven't heard it.
There you go.
Didn't listen. I'll listen this week.
I just wanted to discuss the Essendon Football Club and the 2020 season. I'll keep it brief. Where do I start? God. 2020, huh? You son of a bitch. Firstly, on a positive, I'd just like to say thank you to Connor McKenna. Absolutely loved watching you play, mate. You know, at times you did test me. You tested a supporter. But what can I say? That's probably just the Irish in you. But truly, Connor, go well, my friend. Hope to see you don the sash one more time. Who knows, maybe in the future you might come back. But God bless, mate. God bless. I believe the saying goes, the fish rots from the head. And look, at the end of the day, what the hell would I actually know? But when the CEO, Xavier Campbell, comes out and time again says, you know, be patient and gives all these excuses and all this kind of jazz, it sounds like excuses a kid gives their teacher when they can't explain why they haven't brought their homework to school. Xavier. That's where it all starts. But who next? Adrian Todoro.
Listening to that back for the first time myself, that did go for much longer than I actually thought it did when I recorded it.
When Dino messaged me, I was just like, because I remember we spoke about the Bombers.
Sorry to keep you awake.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that once I sit down. We'd spoken about the Bombers a little bit. And then, like, you were just sort of like, we'll just go over the, just go over him a little bit, this, that, the other, were disappointed. And then when he was like, I really enjoyed Ben lamenting the Bombers, it made me feel better. I was like, I didn't really think he said too much about it. But I was like, grouse, mate, thanks for listening again. You know, love it. Sucked in Bombers. It was like...
Yeah. You're probably walking away thinking, he doesn't even listen to the show. He didn't even talk about it. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. AJ, listen to this, right? You know, we've touched on it a couple of times in recent shows that we're going to, you know, update our logo, get all that sort of design work redone. We're just feeling, you know...
It's a rebrand.
It's a bit of a rebrand.
Those who follow us on the socials can often see videos of, you know, I've got the old Magoos logo as my Zoom background here. So that's getting updated pretty much.
Yeah, and the lovely ladies at Bell Design have been getting in touch with us, and I'm They've been like absolutely outstanding. I would have cracked it by now.
I tell you, they've got the patience of angels.
I know, because we really just like, I don't know, there's something about, we've had to send in selfies pretty much of like different awkward looks, different, you know, bit of a silly look, you know, a bit of a fun look, bit of a serious look. And it's been a bit weird just sending in selfies of yourself, but I sent mine in, and then, which was the brief, you know, a couple of serious ones, a bit of an eyebrow raise, you know, a bit of a Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And then you sent yours in, and I'm telling you, Jake, are you a model in disguise? Because you've just sent in some absolute, like, you know, middle of summer, you got a bit of a nice gloss on you, very chiseled jawline.
Oh, look, the whole works. As much as people like to kid themselves that, you know, Instagram, you know, is a real reality of their life, you know, you have to be quite selective with what you post. And very rarely do I take a nice photo, Ben. So the ones that I sent through were a couple of years old because I just keep them in the rotation. And, look, I hope that the girls do me justice and hopefully add that tan that you're talking about, because I haven't been tan too often. So
I think they might. Well, I don't know if it was a filter, but you looked ravishing. And now I can just see, what I can see coming from this is you know, the Magoos with Jake and Ben, and that's and it's got Jake, who this this tanned handsome dude, and then it's just going to have this bald guy next to him with an eyebrow raise, like. Talk about
this, set headphones on, like, dude. The silly one and the serious one, the odd couple. No, Ben, I think you're far more handsome than I am.
I don't know about that, but
you can grow a beard. Look at that. That is a beard.
I appreciate that, but you can grow a mo.
The Magoos.
Benny, we're back. A huge week of footy coming up. The last round of the season, which has sort of gone slow and fast all in one. Go, really. It's been a strange old season, as we all know. But yes, the last round is here. And it starts on Thursday night and goes until next Monday, I'm pretty sure, and then the bye for the finals and all those sort of things. Starting to get a little bit of normality and structure around the footy season after a couple of bursts of rounds where people are playing and God knows what's going on. But I believe that you're the prepared one this week, my friend. We've sort of done a little bit of a shift. I sort of didn't want to come in with too many preconceived ideas because I am still emotional. I'm still emotional from what I saw on the weekend. And so I sort of handed the baton over to you. I said, you can take our footy chat, run with it, talk about what you think we need to talk about, because I needed a little bit of a break from everything that was happening in football. And then I came back from that break today and received some heartbreaking news.
And Jake, let's just, whilst you're in that zone already of emotional wreck, what did you receive of that news? For those listening, obviously, Kate Simpson, is that what we're talking about?
Hanging up
the boots. So
I'm gonna go ahead and say forced into retirement.
I was going to tiptoe on the idea, but I'm glad you brought it up. It's your mob, so you can talk about it. And I'm sure in the coming weeks I'll probably have something to say about a few Essendon players who may be also forced into the same situation. How do you feel about the whole thing?
Oh, I'm not really sure. I think it's more signifying the end of an era, you know, like in terms of that Carlton wave that sort of came through. Obviously, Gibbs and Cruiser have retired, and Murphy's still going and his output's still okay, which is fine. But Simpson as well, now in that sort of group that, and Rudy tweeted something, one of our good friends, Rudy Edsel, tweeted something today just around the age of the player retiring. And Simpson now means there's only two players in the AFL older than Rudy. And I think it sort of has that little bit of effect. We're obviously a little bit younger than that stage at the moment. But you sort of think about, you know, when you were like really like idolising footballers and stuff, and, you know, like I was early high school when like Murphy and Gibbs and Cruiser and those sort of guys were coming into the Carlton team, and you're really like all footy, all that sort of, not that we aren't now either, mind you, but, like that real sort of that age where you just think this is the life that I need to live and sort of thing. And then sort of have those players now come and go in what seems like a blink of an eye is a little bit of a worry. But I think with the Simpson one, like, there's a couple of schools of thought, because I personally don't really see how a bloke can be in your best 22 all year and then all of a sudden can be surplus to requirements. I think that I know that Newman's been out for the year and then Williamson was back, so their injuries sort of never, their fitness never coincided to both needing to be in the team. But I don't like the, and I mean every club does and stuff, but I don't like the look of you know, purely basing a decision on age, because
Is it based on age, or is it just like solely based on age? Is there caps to base stuff like that if they want to headhunt a couple, you know, a bull that they clearly need in order to help out Cripps in the middle? Or like, I don't know, sure is he out of contract as well? Or
he would be, from a financial point of view, I mean, you think that those guys don't cost you as much as, you know, because you get the veterans tax or whatever it is.
Like, yeah,
there is still the exemptions around that. So, I don't think it's a financial thing. I think it is like a development thing. And, I was talking with Dad about it, and he said it's good that Simpson can finish, you know, on his own terms, in that sense of, because if Newman, Williamson and whoever and Doherty and all these blokes are playing next year and Petrescu seat and Simpson ends up in the twos, then it's not really the way, you know, he'd sort of want to finish. Yeah. And you think, well,
yeah,
I just don't see how a guy can play every game in a season and then all of a sudden not be there the next year based on, like, if he just retired, I think then, you know, that's sort of his call. But it doesn't feel like it's been his call. And with Cruiser, I was disappointed, but you understand, you know, his body's been through, you know, so much, and we've got to Conan waiting there, and when Pitnett's come in, he's been quite good. But, yeah, this one just hasn't really sat with me, and I think that, you know, Cade Simpson has been, like, he's played in the most losses for an AFL player ever, ever. So.
But no one outside of the Carlton Football Club will even hold that against Cade, because,
I mean, I don't think anyone internal will either, but it's just something I saw today.
What I meant by that is, you know, like, obviously opposition fans will hang shit on that sort of stat from, you know, because they don't like the person or the club or whatever. And Cade's a special case, isn't he? Because he has so much respect from literally every football fan out there, and myself included. Like, unbelievable career, going through the complete downs in Carlton, but he's just so loyal and so strong and hard. Like, he's always just been hard at the footy, and he epitomizes sort of like a clubman. And I guess that probably hurts a little bit more for a Carlton supporter, because I think Cade's that it's not just the end of an era, but it's like the end of some. It could be all at the same time, you know, opening a new door for Carlton. Like, maybe that's an internal thing where they're like, look, this is a complete, as we know, we're redesigning our logos. It's a rebrand, you know, maybe.
I think it's interesting in terms of, you know, like what the fabric of a football club was. And I think that, you know, you sort of do look at, you know, those people that you like associate with what you want to be. And I think that if you had 22 Cade Simpsons every week, you win more games than you lose, sort of thing. And I think maybe a little bit in like the newer era, especially with free agency and that sort of stuff, we just might not see that as much anymore, which is fair enough. You know, players get paid really highly and, you know, it's their career and they're in it for a short amount of time. But I think you're sort of right in what you're talking about. You know, Cade Simpson is still quite old school. And, you know, he obviously isn't the biggest, fastest, strongest, most skilled player, but he got everything out of himself every single time. And I think that, I think I'm, you know, what I'm sort of most looking forward to is hopefully round one next year at the MCG, you know, you can get Cruiser and Gibbs and Simpson to be farewelled. And I mean, and there will be a few of those. Obviously Sean Burgoyne is going around again, which means, but then Stratton and Puopolo have retired, which is interesting when your captain retires. It's always an interesting one.
No one's ever surprised when it comes from Hawthorn, though. Like, it's like they made it pretty clear a few years ago that we will put the club's best interests first, which I think there's definitely some in that. Whether or not it paid off for them, because they haven't. I don't know if they've got the best list coming up. I'm not sure if it will pay off, depending on their picks and stuff.
It's just interesting with Hawthorn is that, you know, they seemably have done it to everyone but Burgoyne. Just an interesting one. Like, I mean, he's a very good player, has been for a very long time. But, like you saw Luke Hodge go up to Brisbane and have two pretty solid years and play a big role. Burgoyne just wouldn't be my first pick out of all the blokes that they've sort of tried to move on. But, I mean, I think the time was right for Stratton and Puopolo, but it sort of rams home that that relevancy of how old, you know, we sort of start to feel when 31-year-old Ben Stratton retires and we're not too far behind him in terms of age, so it'll, soon it'll be weird when we're just going to the footy and yelling at people who are 15, 20 years younger than us.
You've kind of got to stop yelling, don't you, when they're just boys, really. I do need to ask you as well, before we get into the conference call, which is going to be, you could say, a big one, depending how you look
at it. I always do.
Yeah, you always do. Great. I need to ask you, what are your thoughts on Eddie? Is Eddie far behind that call, or do you think he goes around again?
I think, well, that's interesting, because I think from an output point of view, I think Simpson has been, you know, maybe a little bit down, but yeah. Doherty's been back. But yeah, like, I mean, you'd give him another year. I think he'd be playing again if it was 5 years ago. So based on his output, that is. I think Eddie Betts, you know, I mean, obviously Papley is staying at Sydney now, which sort of compounded a really emotional weekend, which we didn't need.
Huge, yeah.
But, you know, I see enough in, you know, I don't think Eddie Betts' output has been good enough to keep, say, Zach Fisher out of like a small forward role or, you know, Jack Martin, like Martin and Fisher are probably always going to play. But if there is, you know, Josh Honey and those sort of guys who are on the list, and I'd rather see those guys playing in that sort of position, which is sort of a complete opposite stance to what we're talking about with Simpson. But yeah, I think in Eddie's sort of circumstance, he's been okay this year, but he had a long stretch where he wasn't kicking goals, and he's always going to have, you know, be that opportunist sort of thing. But I think that, from an output point of view, I think you could get something else. You'd probably get someone who goes into the midfield a little bit more and if it is a young bloke who they can blood, that's probably time for that. It was interesting that Eddie's family obviously arrived on the Gold Coast today, which is sort of strange timing. I mean, they might have a family holiday planned afterwards, but to go back into the hub with only 1 week to go might mean it could be curtains. There's plenty of problems at Carlton, my friend. They were very, very disappointing on the weekend, and they've got to make some big decisions. And, I mean, all clubs are at the moment, because the lists are getting smaller, we assume. Yeah. And there will be guys that, you know, I mean, we saw your big fella, big Tom Bellchambers. He retired as well. So there is a lot more. There's a lot going on. It's going to be interesting to see if any clubs sort of throw these guys lifelines. Simpson and Betts, you probably think, are over the hill. But, you know, if a team's looking for a defender in Stratton, I know they're saying they're retiring for now, but even Tom Bellchambers, like, big blokes don't get any smaller. We've said it before. And if all else fails, and if there's, you know, like, if there is maybe like a Geelong who maybe don't improve their big man stocks, they always seem to be looking for someone new in that regard.
Geelong are always looking for someone new, aren't they? I think they came out today and said that they're interested in Joe Danaher, or they might not have come out and said that, but it was reported that they might be interested in Joe Danaher. They're interested in everything, Jake. I reckon if I was walking down Main Street Geelong and I had a souvlaki in my hand that looked quite nice, they'd be interested in that as well. Just get your souvlaki, Geelong.
Future second round pick for your server. What do you reckon?
I'll be dead set. I'll be absolutely spewing if Joe leaves, period. But if he leaves and goes to a Victorian club,
it's going to be interesting in terms of that bubble, isn't it? Like, you know, last year the thing was, you know, he really wanted to get out of Melbourne and, you know, like go and play in a non-footy state and live his life a little bit, you know, like, so it's going to be interesting if that applies to Geelong. Because Geelong is obviously still a footy, you know, city, I guess, but it's out of the Victorian bubble, and, you know, you're not that far from the beach and those sort of things. Yeah, so
it is outside the bubble, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's starting to smell for me, because there might not have been the interest last year or the cap movement, but I'm starting to think that Joe might be able to get the best of both worlds down there.
I was thinking the same thing today. As much as I hate it, my family has a beach house in Anglesey, and you do see a lot of them down that sort of way, and they are out of Melbourne, absolutely. And then they're only just up, they're far enough out from the media, but they're also close to family. You're still only an hour away from anyone. So,
and I think that
scares me a little bit. And, yeah.
Yeah, when you're 6'8", though, like, you are going to get noticed anywhere. People are going to, if you're walking down Bondi or wherever, like, if you're 6'7", whatever he is, like, you're like, yes, they might not know for sure who he is in a rugby league state.
Not just a knowing, stop but it's and more go, of a caring.
Yeah, it's a tall guy.
Yeah,
true.
More of too much attention.
And, I mean, Geelong, you know, they sort of run that town. So it'd be interesting to see if he that is too close to home for him still. Or, I mean, he might turn around and re-sign at Essendon. But going to New South Wales might be bucking the trend, because as I'm reading on your rundown that you prepared here, is that you reckon there might be a GWS exit coming.
I don't look into it enough to like, I'll bring up a certain person and you'll say, no, he's contracted for 2 years. And I'm like, oh, well, why do you know that? Like, so I don't know the ins and outs. And obviously we can't tell, but I think just the last couple of weeks, they dropped the captain to make a statement, and Leon re-signed, didn't he, as head coach, just last week. So he's got the reins. It's his team, and he's made the big call to cut his captain. He implied that maybe Jeremy Cameron may not get a game this week, and if he doesn't, Jake, has he played his last game for the Giants?
If he doesn't play this week, you would have to suggest so. But I mean, I know that they're, I don't know. I always sort of like to have that the theory that, like, so much more is going on than we sort of know, and it is a lot of what we see is face value. But it's not as fun to speculate on if not. But I remember talking when we had Dil Buckley on, not too long ago, and he was speaking about how highly respected Canelio was. And I mean, personally, I thought he was going to leave at the end of last year, and then the rumor was that he really wanted to be captain, and that was a real bargaining chip, and almost a clause in the contract sort of thing. So, and I sort of thought, if that's true, that doesn't really scream a bloke that I want leading the footy club. But we've spoken to Dil about, and he said Canelio is one of the most selfless people. The boys all love him, they respect him so highly, all that sort of stuff. And he's mates with him, and he's mates with all of those guys. So, we absolutely would take that on face value.
I don't think it'll be just GWS. I reckon this off season's there's gonna be a couple. Whoa, I didn't see that coming. Or you thought it may happen, but I just reckon with 2020 the way it's been, just in general, I think there could be some big shifts at clubs. I think there's a lot of clubs who I hope, my club definitely included, with let's be honest where we're at. And are we going to be in denial again and just try and trade for another couple of blokes who potentially could put us into this so-called window, which we haven't been in, or do we trade blokes off who aren't interested in the Bombers, and do we do a Port Adelaide or something similar and go to the draft, even though it's compromised? Send us in your kicking from 50 down the local because you can't play on the weekend if you're a 17-year-old. I reckon there's going to be a lot of movers and shakers this trade period, Jake. I reckon it's going to be set.
It's going to be good because it's a period of time that, us sort of bottom 10 sides look forward to, the free agency and all the rumours and stuff.
And Geelong.
And Geelong just love it. They just seemingly have a never-ending trough that they can fill up with. But it's going to be interesting. I think, I reckon at almost every club there's, people who are, supposed, and I think the go home factor too, it might be amplified a little bit more now if players have been away from home a lot more, like in terms of even their home away from home. So players who might be from WA but are based at a Victorian club who have set up camp there, have spent the whole year up in Queensland sort of thing, they might be thinking, I'm still not going to go home sort of thing. That might have an impact. Players that have been interstate and travelling a lot, there's all the noise around Ollie Wines and those sort of things. Yeah. So does a Port Adelaide flag stop him going, or does it make him go more? There's just all these sort of things that I really can't wait for now that finals are out of the question for Carlton. I'm hoping that even, Saad and those sort of blokes there, and there's some really top talent that I think will, and teams will come to the party and just say, look, take our first, that's where a team like Adelaide, North Melbourne, even GWS could, can almost rebuild really quickly, because if they can
be don't talk rebuild and GWS in the same sentence. They have just not turned up to the party. They're stacked still.
They have
underperformed this year.
But if they lose Cameron, if Josh Kelly leaves at the end of next year, and who knows what the Canelio sort of situation is like. So there is still those. So if they do decide, if Perryman, comes or goes, if he stays or leaves, whatever that sort of might look like, GWS still have like a really solid base of really young guys too. So they might look at it and be like, shit, Jeremy Cameron's 27 now. You know, like, yes, we'd obviously love him to stay, but if he's umming and ahhing, let's get a first-round pick or two for him because, you know, we could end up with five or six first-round picks over the next 2 years that we can then, you know, all of sort of do what Sydney have done, sort of without ever really losing that competitiveness, you know, turn your list over to a certain point. And there'll be all sorts of strategies I think that'll be thrown out the door based on list sizes and underperforming and probably overperforming.
Yeah, there'll be a few dice rolls, I reckon, definitely. Like, why not? What have we got to lose? I think North have obviously said as well that they've got, what, four blokes that are untouchable, basically, and the rest is sort of, let's see what we can
come do. Come and make us an offer. And, I mean, from a Carlton point of view, like, I think that it wouldn't be to that extreme, but I think especially from a draft pick point of view, if we end up with, what, pick 7 or pick 8, you'd be saying, we're not using this pick. Like, you know, we put it out on the table, and if anyone wants to come to Carlton, then yes, we use it. If not, then, you know, like, come and make us an offer if you think that you're in the, if it's a Brad Crouch for Adelaide or that sort of a vibe.
Well, you just touched on that. I mean, obviously Papley has pretty much said he's definitely staying at the Swans, which is not what Carlton supporters would have liked to have heard, or at least a lot
correct.
Of, I think a few though, given that you guys have scored pretty freely this season. Do you think it's a bit of a blessing in disguise that you can actually go for what you truly need, you know, in some help for Cripps in the middle?
Maybe. I think that they still would have been able to do something similar anyway. They might not be able to get the calibre of player, but it's very hard to, like, you know, you think about trading for big names. Like, Tom Papley's an A-grade forward.
He is.
And you know, you hope that, you know, he's only a young guy and he's still got a couple of years on his contract. So maybe it's just a free agency thing after he gives the Swans a couple more years. But, you know, it doesn't help us in the short term. So I think that, you know, yeah, Carlton can, they can obviously sort of look at, you know, really narrowing in on that, like, glaring weakness seemingly. And then obviously adding Charlie Curnow back in, fingers crossed he's fit, is huge. But you need to get him fit and on the park. So, yeah, you're right. The scoring is not necessarily the problem because the way we get the ball down there and the lack of getting the ball down there on some occasions is probably more worrying. So it'd be interesting to see what they do, but it's very hard to get top talent that want to come to your club unless you're, you know, a regular sort of top 8, top 4 side. So
I feel the consensus, though, is Carlton definitely are on the right track. And, you hear that sentence a lot, but this year it's like you've been knocking on the 8. Like, you could have made it if you won, you know, literally a game or two and things went your way. But it is looking good. Like, you've got a really good core there and very good players around that. Not to pump your tyres up, but I think you guys are going to be okay.
Lovely thing for you, what a lovely thing for you to say, Ben. That was some robust football chat.
Yes.
Always nice to deal in hypotheticals.
Yeah, should we get into some not so robust footy chat? We've got two supporters who are knocking down the door to get into this conference call.
Let's do it. Let's bring them in. Open the doors.
Who and me were meant to be walking free in harmony.
One fine day
we'll fly away. Don't you know that Rome wasn't built in a day?
Hey. Benny, time for my favourite segment on the show, when we get the diehards in to join us for our Game of the Week conference call. And the last round of the season, but this conference call is something very unique because this game was scheduled many moons ago. Round three, and was called off due to a COVID scare on a player who is no longer at that club.
Jeez, when you put it like that, 2020 is just one hell of a year, isn't it?
One hell of a year. And so we've got two of our favourites on the show here. We've got regular contributor of Sam 60, Bombers diehard, who I know that you often get into deep, deep Bombers conversations with, Ben. So, Sam, welcome back to the Magoos, this time in the conference call setting.
Welcome. You're welcome. Thank you, I guess.
Just welcome to
Australia. It's good to be here, but it's been a few weeks. So I don't know if I'm going to get any venting material, but we need to put an end to this Melbourne, Essendon, I don't know,
Because my understanding is you boys have been going at each other's throats all year based off that round three game that didn't happen. Yeah. And it's just basically been, I reckon for 7 weeks straight, the Essendon supporters are saying, oh, we've still got a game in hand, still got a game in hand. And then Melbourne started, went through a bit of a peak where they were like, actually, we're getting pretty good. And Essendon supporters are going, oh, shit, that game in hand's not looking too good if we have to play it now. Both teams have shat the bed, although the D's actually are still a chance. If the D's win this weekend and the Doggies lose, the D's actually will jump them on percentage into the eight. So I don't know how we introduce this other bloke.
I don't care about that.
Hang on, we're not asking you for your opinion yet.
We haven't got into the nitty gritty yet, because as we can see, I'm not sure if his audio is working because he seemingly is talking, but. We'll wait until we introduce him officially. He's sitting there in his log cabin by the looks of things. He's got his demon's cap, his demon's scarf, and he's got what looks to be a framed picture without glass of David Neates.
David Neates.
Oh, no, it does have glass behind it. So he's here. It's got glass, we've confirmed. He is ready to talk about the D's and their chances of making the eight. Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. But just before we get started, very loosely used the term die hard when talking about Sam, and I'm just not having it. He barely gets excited when his boys are kicking the ball. It's just, I'm not having it. So if you could just retract that one for me, Jake, that would
be. You know what, I can actually vouch for this. It was a few weeks ago when I thought the Bombers were pretty hard done by a couple of calls, and I was getting pretty vocal, and it was just Sam and I in the lounge room watching, and he was laughing at me because I was getting too worked up, and I literally, he wasn't listening, and all I did was grab him, and I said, you're not listening, and you know what he did for the rest of the night? I can't believe you laid a hand on me. That was his angle. He was not getting around the Bombers, and I wasn't having a bar of it. So, Aaron, I think you're right. Sam, do you have a rebuttal
for
this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it points out. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Another bloke said it about 30 years ago. He's probably more famous for it. But, like, football, of all the unimportant things in life, football is the most important. So, there's just got to come a time where you realise that, I'm not going to care about this right now because I can detach myself from it. And the Bombers are fucking shit. Sorry.
And that attitude is why Sam60 hasn't had a run in the last couple of weeks, because you've just gone every time Jake and I message you, you go, footy's not that important. It's like we're asking you on for 60 seconds, mate.
Well, yeah, I never got to the bottom of. I was working a case, I reckon, a few weeks ago, but I've dropped that. I don't know what the case was, though.
Brett Kirk.
I fucking checked
Brett
out.
Brett Kirk's speech was a conspiracy theory. You've checked out of your own conspiracy theory. Jake, you really need to wrangle this back to where it needs to be. We need you here, mate.
I'm bringing us back together because we've got to focus on this weekend. Melbourne can still make the finals. Aaron, my question to you is, will they?
No. It's just not happening. We'll blow it. Like, Bulldogs will probably, like, they could drop this game this weekend, but we'll be up by like 5 goals last quarter and we'll blow it. It's just, yeah, we're not there and we're probably years off ever being there.
Right. Okay, that's not how I thought that was going to go, to be honest with you. So, Sam, what can your beloved Bombers, what can they get out of this one then?
Well, oh, God, I don't know if they're going to blow it. We're going to probably try harder. But I hope for a little
bit. Hang on. We decided this was the game of the week, didn't we?
Yeah, because it's Conor McKenna's, you know, does he have anything to do with the club anymore? I don't know. Maybe
he retired effectively immediately, didn't he?
Go out and win a game for Connor.
It's Tom Bellchamber's last game if he gets named.
He probably should have retired a few weeks ago. But
wow, that is harsh. You got two blokes saying my team's not going to win it. Jake, why did we choose this as the game of the round?
Because we didn't know any St Kilda or GWS fans, I think it was the official tagline. But hey, we've got two people here now, and Aaron, for what it's worth, I think that Melbourne, I think there is still that chance that they can sneak in, so they need to win this game. What do you want to see them do in this game? So whether or not, you know, it's, you know, like, they should be playing for their season here, but as you said, so often, you know, they've let you and the faithful down. What do you want to see from them in this match?
Look, I actually think the talent's there, so I would just love to see them really throw themselves the ball and mix things up, and not if a team gets a jump on us early, we just fall to absolute shit. So yeah, honestly, I'm just want them to go hard early and yeah, just try and play out a proper game, because it just hasn't really happened this year when it's been a difficult game.
But for a moment there, you sound a bit like Fox Footy's on the Source at the start of that one. It was at 1.5 speed, and I think the boy. Marijuana.
1 million.
So you're pretty much saying it's that you guys have the cattle, but you're constantly shitting the bed. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What is it, Aaron? All right. What is it? I mean, Essendon are very good at doing this too, but what is it from Melbourne's perspective that isn't going right consistently?
I don't know. I actually think it's kind of the big ones. It's leadership and potentially our coach. It's really hard to say, but potentially, like, we have so much talent in the list, and I think most Melbourne supporters would agree with that, and we can turn up on a day, but when it's a tough game and we need, you know, a leader to stand up, I don't know, I just don't necessarily see anyone doing that. Or if our game style is turned to shit against Port Adelaide or whoever it may be, the coach isn't really moving anybody that's just going to actually do anything in the game. So I think it's those two. And unfortunately, they're like the two most important things and not easy to fix. But, I'd probably give Goodwin another season. But, yeah, I don't know. Haven't been happy with the leadership. So, yeah.
See, that's the sort of, like, you know, like, let's have those discussions, guys. Let's not let's not shy away from those hardcore space opinions. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm, you know, myself and Ben, we're in the boat with you guys. We're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We're not in the boat. Essendon's boat is well and truly, it's been shot by a missile from 10 metres.
From where? Go on, from where?
From very close range. Yeah. It was someone in the boat.
Yeah, very, very fine line you're treading there, Benjamin. Sammy, the Dons. Like, as much as, you know, I'd love for you and Ben to just do a full debrief. We said, you know, we don't want you to get physical and you two could talk forever about it, I think. What positive do you think, from an Essendon point of view, you can take away from this season?
I'd say, honestly, Jordan Ridley, for one. That has been huge. Fumbles. One of the, just, it's rare when you get a player in your team where you look at them and you just complete, it's not complete trust, but it's up there. And it's just like, it's been, we haven't had a lot of that, I guess. So he's been a huge one. I think, I seen Joe come back was mint. That was just so cool. He's genuinely exciting.
Sam Draper, you're forgetting about Sam Draper.
Yeah, Sam Draper. Yeah. I mean,
you've got more positives than you can name.
Yeah, but they're very small. They're very small. Overall, I think I'd say those classic ones are like lacking a sense of direction. So, and it's been like this consistently for years. So, yeah, it's not, it's, as I said, I've checked out. I can't be any more plainer.
You come here and you say you've checked out, but you've been bugging me all week to get back on the show to do the conference call with Aaron, yeah, a deep supporter. Yeah. All right, let's get into some margins. And you both reckon it's going to be a draw, or your team's going to lose by 14 goals. Where are they? What's actually happening? Like, all right, it's 2:10 on Saturday at Metricon. Aaron, we'll start with you, the D's. Surely they go out with a bang and at least put yourself in a position where you rely on doggies to lose, and therefore you may have a chance. How much are we talking?
I know I was getting into them earlier, but I actually do think we will win, and I think it'll be about 40 points. I think it'll be a bit of a rubbing.
Not that you need the percentage boost, you just need the 4 points. Sammy, bit of a rubbing. What do you think? I mean, we've been used to rubbings lately, so surely last game we actually put our necks on the line too, and we say if we can at least make a team not make the finals, the old Carlton theory, surely we go with that route.
Yeah, I'd almost put Aaron Francis in the team and be like, dude, like, if you actually want to keep playing footy, I don't know where Aratio is, but like, put some of those fringe players on and be like, just go out there. Like, we can't be in the finals, but like, prove it. Prove it that you fucking want to be here like next year, because it's getting frustrating.
So you think it could be a test from Truck? I think he's taking over the reins this week.
Yeah, like, honestly, it could follow that suit where Wooshaw, it's the final game of the season, and Wooshaw's like, I'm actually not going to take anything this match. Do you? Like,
he might not even be there. Yeah, Wooshaw's in the car park watching it on
his phone. Probably in the Bahamas or something, just drinking a margarita or something. He's got cash and just doing jack shit. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how this week will go.
All right, so you've got no margin at all. Thanks for that.
Oh, no,
sick input, bro.
Bombers by 3 goals.
Goals. We can't kick 6 in a game, so we're going to have to. So it's going to be 6-3, hopefully.
Yeah, it's a bottleneck.
Don't distract him from his margin after that. It took him a long time to get there. Don't say
that. I know. That should be another Sam 60. But before we go, Sam, you did tell me that you would have liked to migrate this conference call into Sam 60. Did you have a Sam 60 available to give the fans what they've been desperately wanting for a couple of weeks?
A super segment.
The red double header. No, I don't really have anything to rant about, I guess.
You could rant about Aaron's kit and the way he looks in this dungeon, if you like.
Yeah. Talking of fair weather, to everyone, if possibly listening to this, Aaron's wearing a full Melbourne kit. Never seen him wear a full Melbourne kit. He's not diehard. This is my 60 right here. You fucking go for the Tigers so much more than the Demons. You are the biggest Tigers fan.
Aaron, care to elaborate on Sam 60 or Sam's 35?
I honestly have absolutely no idea what on earth he could possibly be talking about. I am a loyal Melbourne supporter. Hand on heart, David Neitz by my side.
That's fair. That's fair.
I have no ties to the Richmond Football Club and never will.
Just your brother's a dual premiership player there, and however many All Australians he's won as well.
I don't really recall that one, but
His name's Dylan. I think you've met him a few times. You'd know him.
I remember what I can remember is David Neitz snagging from 45 out on the boundary. That's what I can remember.
Actually, I think Sam 60, if we can just refine it a little bit, the fact that Aaron, your brother, is the superstar defender Dylan Grimes, and you are a friend of both Sam and I, why has Dylan not been on the show yet? You're supposed to be a supporter of the Magoos.
I have been wondering that for some time as well. I've asked you, Bopper, and I actually think we should be turning this question towards you. Why has he not been on the show?
You haven't asked him. I don't want to ask him. I'm nervous. Jake, I think we should wrap this segment up.
We'll make a blanket rule. Aaron's not allowed to touch the show until he gets his famous brother on for us.
Done.
Consider it done.
Aaron Samuel, I hope. Well, obviously, I hope. I don't even want the Bombers to win, because it'll be just that typical sort of like, yeah, of course we win the last game of the season when it means nothing. Aaron, good luck to your D's on the weekend. I personally hope you don't make it, because I think the Dogs, if the Dogs make it, they're the ones who are going to shake it up. You'll be just making up the numbers. But good luck anyway.
Samuel. That's brutal way to end it, bro.
No, just on that, I completely agree. That's what I said to Geordie of the week. Completely agree.
All right.
Fantastic, gents. Look, thank you both so much for joining us. You are integral parts of our show, and you do support us very well and listen and contribute more often than most people. So we do love to have you on board. Good luck for the last round of the season for your teams, and I am certain of nothing more than 2021 we'll be having this same discussion. So thank you for contributing this season, gents. Good luck on the weekend, and we'll chat to you both very soon.
Lovely. Thank you very much, gents.
The Magoos.
Well, Jake, that was eventful, you could say the least.
It was an entertaining conference call, wasn't it? I hope people out there found it. It was a different sort of vibe. We've sort of said over the last few weeks we've had some really structured down-to-earth footy conversations where this one was a bit of a mudslinging match, but still entertaining, but still fun.
I wouldn't mind to hear the people.
It almost...
I was just going to say, I wouldn't mind hearing from the Magoos community if you want to DM us or whatever, if you that gave you a bit of a chuckle, or you actually liked that realm, because we're feedback and the wheel's got to keep turning. I wouldn't mind, because I think there's legs in that sort of just two blokes who love footy but aren't also, you know, not a bit of NQR about those two.
It's like the Simpsons episode where they get them to review the Itchy and Scratchy show and all the kids are sitting there. So you want a totally down-to-earth show that tackles real world issues whilst also fighting aliens and stuff. So it's a bit, it's all good stuff.
But I had a couple I know we've already just delved into our topics at the start. I just wanted to, obviously, on the back of the conference call, I do truly think if the Doggies can make the eight, that they we've seen in 2016, so it's not exactly like I'm putting my neck on the line saying it, but I think they can ruffle some feathers, because they've got a good list, and when they're on, they're really on. But we've spoken a couple times lately, Jake, about Collingwood and how they've just been going like this all year, just sort of bobbing up every now and then. But they're also having their lows, and we talk about all their players they've had coming back. Jordan Dugowie kicked 4 goals last night, and that just sort of, you know, if they make the eight, which I truly think they will, I think winning last night cements that spot just about. Do you think that Collingwood are just in that position where, I don't know if they can win it because it's just tough from where they are, but they're getting those players back. Jordan Dugowie can kick 4 goals. Mason Cox with his little finger, his little finger wag. Rub that he did, the finger wag, whether you like it or not. People are talking about it. It's good to see. Can the Pies shake it up too?
Well, we said last week when we were doing our ladder predictors, I said that, yeah, Collingwood were probably the only one outside the top four that could win it, and I still don't think they can win it, but the amount of, like, seasoned talent on their list, their midfield, like, Treloar is such a good player for mine and is a ball magnet, and, you know, and they've already got a lot of ball magnets in there with Pendlebury and Adams. Side bottom, they've had the baby, so whether or not they return or not... Mm. Is interesting, but yeah, I mean, Jordan Dugowie, you know, like, he is X factor in that team. And when he plays, you know, they're a different beast, and they're just going to be hard to beat. I think, you know, not necessarily can they then win the 4 finals in a row to win the flag, but they're going to give teams a real headache. And I think that the last thing you want, say they've played St Kilda, right, in an elimination final, they probably beat them.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that then, you know, the last thing that a, you know, Geelong, you know, it, I mean, it won't be one of, you know, obviously I'm not really sure where it'll all sit, but obviously one of those top four teams are going to have to play potentially an informed Collingwood side, who I think at full strength for the whole year are a top four side. So they're the ones for mine that can rattle a few cages. And whilst history is against them, 2020 will be a strange year. So, it'll be interesting to see, but yeah, they're still due to get a couple more back, or they would like a couple more back, whether or not they get them or not in Howe and side bottom, yeah, they've definitely got the pieces to rattle some cages, I think.
Absolutely, they do. Yeah, I think it's going to be shaping up for a really good, a cracking final series. I think every team that are in there, and that's if it stays the way it is, where Doggies make it, Melbourne don't. No offense to Melbourne supporters. I reckon just every game is a question mark, I think, of this final series. I don't know what to expect. They'll obviously have favourites going into it, who's playing better in Queensland, that sort of thing. But it's actually like anyone can genuinely win it, I think.
I think, yeah, like especially with that bye before the finals, that break where everything can sort of reset and, you know, teams will be in the states, like in their states where they're playing and all those sort of things. I think that... Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be like a mini season within those sort of 4 weeks. It's going to be fun to watch. But yeah, I totally agree with your point of, you know, as we sort of said, anything can happen in this year, which we know. And it is going to be whoever's playing the best footy at the right time, like it is most other years. But I think that now is a really, really good chance for a team like Geelong and like Port Adelaide, who have sort of been round about the mark, but still seemingly playing with very little expectation, to potentially claim a flag. And whilst it's not going to be what it might be in front of 100,000 people on a Saturday afternoon at the MCG, it's still going to be something pretty special. And as we've spoken about, and as plenty of pundits have, that, you know, this is going to be one of the most memorable seasons and grand finals. So,
and I'm sure glad that we're here, you know, talking about it, doing a podcast. You know,
where else would you rather be?
Getting the community involved. Tell you what, Jake, it's been this season's been fantastic, and I honestly cannot wait for the finals. I think it's going to be cracking on the Magoos. I think it's going to be a cracking finals. It's just going to be a lot of fun, I think.
And I can't wait. And in the meantime, how about everyone out there gives us a like, share, subscribe, all those things on the socials, you know, tell your friends about us.
Just tell one. Tell one friend. If you actually like the show, just say, hey, tune into the Magoos, because that's how you sort of grow it. The likes and share, subscribe, that's all amazing. But just
all that fun stuff.
Yeah, tell a friend. If they get involved, then who knows? Who knows?
Then why not? And if you've got any juicy rumours or footy trade stories or anything, send them through, you know. We'll chat about them. We'll answer your questions. We'll do all those sort of things. We're desperate for anything. So
we'll do anything.
We'll do anything. Thank you very much once again, Ben. I think that this has probably been your fourth best show for the year for you.
I'll take that. I'll take four.
Which is huge, because you're coming into form at the right time, and you know what we say about that. So thank you very much again for listening, Magoos community, and we will chat to you very soon.
Bye.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.